So today we're just as a fair warning, we're going to, in the sermon, we're going to talk about a particular subject, and it'll be the same subject for the Bible study. So you may be thinking, why are you doing it twice? Well, I figure you guys aren't going to get it when I go through it the first time, but that's not the point. The point is we're going to look at a particular subject, and then we're going to look at it again, but from a little bit different perspective. So as you'll see, it's a little bit different perspective, and so my wife actually found the material that I'm using, and I think you'll, so Liz found it, and so we'll go through it, and I think you'll find it interesting, and tying back into the Old Testament in a way that maybe you've not thought of before. So I certainly hadn't thought of it, certainly hadn't heard it. So I'm not trying to be a heretic. You'll see that there is a way that you can tie it in together, and it makes perfect sense. So anyway, so if you stay for the Bible study, we'll add that element to your understanding. So I think we would all agree as members of the church that we live in difficult times, times that are uncertain, and it certainly lends credence to the idea that we're drawing ever closer to the coming of Jesus Christ. We know that time is known as the Day of the Lord and represented by the Feast of Trumpets. And as you know, those things are taking place in the world, and so as we look at those various things taking place, we begin to conclude, are we drawing close to the end? I mean, is Christ coming soon? And we all wonder if that's the case. And one of the things that for most of, if you've been around the church for a while, one of the things that's been common for all of us is to look at world news and keep track of current events. And as you keep track of those things, we're all saying, well, is this the event that's going to kick us over into the coming of Jesus Christ? And people have spent a lot of time focusing on current events and saying, well, who is the beast and all of that. We've gone through all of those kinds of things and spent a lot of time on it. But something that ties in with the coming of Christ is something that was said. It's said various times in the scriptures. It's said in parables and prophecies and epistles, a phrase that Jesus Christ himself said. And he said, this in regard to the day of the Lord and the coming of Christ. And he said, watch, because the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Watch, because Christ is coming as a thief in the night. So as you think about the word watch, it doesn't mean what you might think it does. You know, we think watch, you know, I should be keeping an eye out and taking a look at things, but that's not exactly what the word means. So the question is, why is such watching important? And the second question is, why does it have to do with Christ returning as a thief in the night? So in the sermon, we're going to examine that particular subject and try to understand it more fully and what is meant there when it talks about Christ coming as a thief in the night and our need to be watching. So we're going to look at this in the sermon, then we'll come back and look at it in a little bit different perspective in the Bible study. As you think about this particular subject, one of the main places that you might go to examine it is in Luke chapter 21, verse 36. Luke chapter 21, verse 36. There it says, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And I remember reading an article which talked about doing certain things so you would be able to escape all the terrible things that are coming at the end of the age. I remember reading that, and it was quite an article, and really hit home with me, and thought, wow, I need to be getting my act together because this is going to come at some point, and I want to be ready for it. And one of the conclusions that is drawn from this particular scripture is that we should watch world news and world events and keep track of those because it's important for us to be able to escape the difficulties at the end of the age. And as you well know, we've spent a lot of time on that as a church and as individuals. But the underlying assumption is that God wants us to have our finger on the pulse of the news. Is that what God is worried about, that we would have our pulse on, you know, you got your finger on it so you know exactly where we're at? Is that what God means when he tells us to watch? But as you think about that approach, that's not what Christ means. That's not what Christ means. As you look at the Greek word translated watch, and you look at it even in its context, you don't have to look at the Greek, it's telling you it doesn't mean that. It means something else. So in verse 36, it says, watch therefore. And we are certainly to do that, but what are we to watch? And it says, watch therefore, and using the word therefore, it means that what we're watching has to do with what has been said before. So you have to go earlier to see the context and look at the scriptures there to be able to understand what Christ is talking about. So that takes us back to Luke chapter 21, verses 34 and 35. Luke chapter 21, verses 34 and 35. And here Christ adds some information that's important to our watching. In verse 34, Christ says, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the earth. So it's saying that if you're not careful, that you can be caught unawares and not be ready for when Christ returns. And so it says that the day of the Lord, they come on you unexpectedly. And as you look at the world is oblivious to this. Most people in the world have no clue what's going on. They aren't worried about it. They're going about their business and not paying any attention to prophetic events. That's not even on their radar. But for people in the church and people that have a Christian orientation, they tend to be focused on the coming of Jesus Christ, and they should be. But as you look at what's said here, clearly Jesus' message is not an admonition to watch world events so that we will know when he's going to return. That's not the purpose of watching. It's watching something else, as he makes clear here. Instead, what's he telling us to watch? What he means is watch yourself. We should be watching ourselves, keeping track of where we're at in our lives, to take heed to ourselves. He's talking about being vigilant about our own spiritual state. To be vigilant about our own spiritual state. And he's saying that, you know, as you basically conclude, well, Christ is coming, but it doesn't look like it's going to be now. And people have started out diligently watching themselves, and as time goes along and Christ doesn't come, they let down. What are we watching for? Why do we continue to do this? And so they do let down, and they go in a different direction. They become absorbed in things that have nothing to do with what Christ is talking about, and you can lose out. You can become reach a situation where you can be caught unaware of what the time is, and Christ comes on you and you're unprepared for it. And it's not a matter of figuring out that Christ is coming soon. That's not the important thing. It's about where you're at spiritually speaking. That's the crucial factor. So Luke 21 verse 36 is not focused on news and current events. That's a secondary issue. That's interesting, but you can figure out all the news and current events, and you can know, boom, Christ is coming very soon, and not be ready. So that's what he's talking about. And as you think about this particular subject, the bottom line is, as Christ told us, he said, you're not going to know the day or the hour. He said that. So did he mean what he says or not? You're not going to know the day or the hour. We're not going to know exactly when. So watching events unfold is not what makes us worthy to escape. It's not what makes us worthy to escape. But our cooperation with God as he works in us to form his character, and our maintaining our relationship with God in prayer, we have to take heed to ourselves constantly, examining our walk and how we are seeking and imitating God. That's what God wants from all of us. That's what God expects from all of us. And you know that if we don't exactly know the timing, and we're sitting on the edge of our seat watching the horizon or whatever we're doing, that's not going to matter. If you're spiritually ready, if you don't actually see it happening right before your eyes, doesn't matter. Because God is going to assess you as being ready for that. So let's go to Luke chapter 12 and look at verses 35 through 40, because they provide a pretty good illustration of what watching is all about. Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through 40. And as you look at this verse, it says, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. That is, be prepared. So he doesn't mean literally get a lamp, make sure it's lit all the time, and make sure that you've got your belt tightened and you're ready for what's happening. He's speaking metaphorically, not literally. So that's not what he's not talking literally. And he goes on to say later in the verse, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master. So what Christ is expecting, you know that he's going to return. He promised that he would return. So be ready for that. And so that's where you would have your lamp burning. There is another passage that directly speaks about being ready, having your lamp burning, and being ready for the return of Christ. I think he's called the bridegroom in those verses. And be ready so that you're ready when he does come, whenever that may be. It says, and he goes on to say, when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may be open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. So they're ready. They're watching in the sense that they're spiritually ready when he returns. Going on in the passage, it says, and if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So the point is, you may not be ready in the sense that you're watching and know exactly when he's coming. You've figured out that we're really close and this is going to happen. So let's say that he does come and you're not physically ready, but spiritually you're ready. It doesn't matter when he comes. Whether he comes in the second watch, the third watch, you're ready, spiritually speaking. And that's what God is looking at. Are you spiritually ready? So in these verses, Jesus pronounces a blessing on those whom the master finds watching when he returns. That means you're ready and you're putting into practice the truths you know to be true. You're practicing God's way of life, and God is aware of that. You are praying to him. You're practicing his commandments. You're putting them into practice on a regular basis, and you're ready. You're spiritually ready, and that's what God wants to see. And it says, instead, they're vigilant and careful in their responsibilities, and as a result of that, they're going to be blessed. They're watching for over their master's house, ensuring that all is in order, even if it means sleepless nights. So be ready, in verse 40, is a simple summation of the watching. Be ready. That's what God wants from you and me. And he warns he might return at a time that we may not expect. So what happens if you're asleep when he returns? If you're ready, it doesn't matter. You've developed your relationship with God, so you're ready whatever time he comes. So it doesn't matter whether he comes early or late, or you've seen all the signs and have been watching in that way. That's not what God wants from us. The duties of a typical servant include many mundane, monotonous, and repetitive chores. You know, if you're a servant working in somebody's household, there were lots of things you had to do that were repetitive, that were kind of boring, but you still had to be doing them. So think about this. How long have you been keeping the Passover? How long have you been going to the Feast of Tabernacles, keeping the Feast of Trumpets? How long have you been doing those things? How long have you been keeping the Sabbath? How long have you been trying to apply those principles? So the challenge is to keep doing it. Because most of us sitting here today, we've been doing this a long time. This isn't all new material. We've been going over it and over it and over it. So we can begin to say, well, hey, I've been doing this for so long. Why do I keep doing it? And that's the wrong conclusion. Just because Christ has not come in the time frame you thought he was going to come doesn't mean he's not going to return. And a lot of people have concluded that he's delaying his coming, and so they've fallen to the wayside. But God said, I want you to endure. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't lose sight of the objective. Think about all those people in the first century. They expected Christ to come in their time, and Christ didn't show up. And you can see in the writings of the New Testament that eventually, Peter and Paul recognize Christ is not going to come in our lifetime. He is going to come, but he's not going to come when we expect it. So we're going to have to stay with it and endure to the end. And they didn't know how much longer time would go on. You know, and we began in the church whenever. Many of us began in the 70s. So if you've been, and some of you in the 60s, so you've been at it a long time. So what does that tell you? It tells you that you've been at it a long time. And you've got to continue to be at it because eventually Christ is going to come. So if you say, you know what, I've done this long enough. And so I'm going to go ahead and not really concentrate on that. I'm going to become involved in some other things. And I know he's coming. So when I note that it gets close, then I'm going to get it together and be ready. Trust me, you can try that, but you're not going to be ready. Because what you have to realize is this watching and taking heed to yourself is all about the relationship that you have with God. And it's an ongoing relationship. So God is looking at, are you going to stick with it? Are you going to continue to do it, even though it may be boring? It may be something that hasn't happened as quickly as we thought. But you got to realize that it is eventually going to happen. So you've got to have that approach, even though it may not be in the time frame that you think it is going to happen. And as you look at what took place in 1995, a lot of people at that particular point in time had been in the church here in the 90s. They began in the 60s or 70s. They've been doing this a long time. And so they were expecting this to be a sprint, not a marathon. And they were tired of it, and they really didn't want to do it. Now, I mean, they were gung-ho when the pressure was on, when it was all new. But as they went on year after year after year, they began to conclude, who knows when he's going to come? So what did they do? They let down. And when somebody said, you know, we really don't have to keep these holy days, we don't have to do these things, what did they do? Hallelujah, brother, I'm a free man. I don't have to do this anymore. But as you look at them today, are they ready? Unfortunately, they dropped out and they lost sight of what they should be focused on. Let's go to Luke chapter 12 and look at, begin in verse 42. Luke chapter 12, verse 42. And this passage, we'll look at verses 42 through 47. And in this passage, Christ talks about a steward and talks about the steward in light of Christ's coming. Luke chapter 12, verse 42. Luke chapter 12, verse 42. And it says, and the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward? So that's somebody who's given responsibility, a responsibility to care for something. And so they have a stewardship. So who then is that faithful and wise steward? And it says, whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season. So there is a season that will come when they will be given that blessing. And it says, blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if the servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day that he's not looking for him, that is, as a thief in the night, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Because you've not believed. You've not been faithful to the end. You've basically lost track of what's important and began to focus on other things. Verse 47. It says, and that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself to do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. You knew and didn't do it. You knew what your responsibility was and what you were committing to, and you've not followed through on it. Verse 48, but he who did not know yet committed things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. So Christ's theme here is continuance in the duty that God has assigned to you. You are a steward and responsible for things that Christ has given you to do. And, you know, for instance, you know, you would look, you know, in my particular responsibility as a minister, I am a steward. And my responsibility is to do the best I can to prepare the flock for this eventuality. So that's being called a steward. But we're each, in our own way, stewards, and God expects us to take seriously that stewardship. As you look at the Church of God, and you look at the Church of God in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. We're not going to read those verses, but it says that Jesus Christ has established the ministry in the church for the edification of the flock. Their purpose as a ministry is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And so they have a responsibility, and it's their responsibility to renew the brethren in their understanding, and to encourage and exhort and correct where necessary, in order that the brethren will stay on course and will take heed to where they stand as far as members of the church. So church leaders are responsible for feeding and preparing God's household and encouraging them to watch themselves. Take heed to yourself, as it says. And if the steward does not properly watch, however, the human proclivity is to let down and abuse. You know, you aren't focused on what's really important, so you begin to, it's easier to act in a worldly, selfish way and to, as it says, to beat your servants, take advantage of your servants, because your focus is on the flesh. The focus is on the here and now, not what is to come. And God says, don't lose sight of the big picture. And, you know, and as you lose sight of that, we can fall into excesses of eating and drinking and doing things that are not acceptable to God. We can just take a worldly point of view, and God says, don't go down that path, you know, and take advantage of the brethren, you know, in the way that we act. Let's go on to another passage that talks about the thief in the night, and that's found and gives us some insight into it. That's in Mark chapter 13, beginning in verse 32. Mark chapter 13, beginning in verse 32. So this is an important point that we always have to keep in mind, and Christ said this, and Christ meant what he said. Mark chapter 13, verse 32, it says, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." So God the Father did not even share his plan with Jesus Christ. Now, Christ is in heaven at this point. I'm sure he knows now. But he, as Christ was on the earth, he said, he hasn't given me the word. I don't know exactly when it's going to be. And Christ, so what did Christ tell them? He said, take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. So the analogy here is that God has gone into a far country, and in a sense of going, returning to heaven, he's gone to that far country, and he's going to be gone until it's time for him to return. And so we, as members of his household, have been given duties and responsibilities. We are his servants, so what are we going to do in the meantime? We have duties. We have responsibilities to be about those duties. And he says, you need to realize that eventually the master of the house is going to return. And when he returns, he's going to say, well, what did you do when I was gone? We didn't do anything. And that's not what he wants to hear. You know, you look at the examples you see in other sections of the Gospels, and that's not a situation you want to be in, where Christ says, well, how did it go? What did you produce? Well, I didn't produce anything. I buried what I did have. You don't want to be that guy, all right? It looked like he was not very happy when Christ called him on that particular issue. And the fact that he tells you that tells you that there's eventually going to be an accounting. So it probably is wise for us to be about the work that God has given us to do. And he said to them in verse 35, it says, watch therefore, take heed to yourself. Where are you at spiritually? And if you're not where you should be spiritually, then you need to make the course correction so that you will be there. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. So Christ is coming. That's indisputable. But the question is, where are we at in our spiritual journey, and are we ready for that? Are we ready for that? So in the parable here in Mark chapter 12, it's even clearer that the master intends for the servants to be watchful, to be diligent, to be alert, taking heed to themselves in their work and authority rather than just waiting around for his return. So we have a job to do. Each of us has a job to do. And God says, be about that job. And twice here he says that no one knows the timing of his return. Not even Jesus Christ knew that answer. And he tells us here to, we do not know the day or the hour, but after his resurrection, he expands this variable to times and seasons. We don't know. And we'll look at, we'll focus as we do the Bible study on times and seasons and what he says, what that means and why that's significant. So our time is best spent focusing on our responsibilities before God rather than being caught up in the details of how it might unfold. So be about God's business. And do we know what God's business is? I think we do. So be about that business in the way that God wants us to be so we will be ready. We've talked about the parable of the wise and foolish virgins, which is mentioned in Matthew chapter 25. And it's the same message, it's just a different metaphor. But the admonition is the same. To be ready, because you don't exactly know when the bridegroom is going to come. So we have to be ready. So we don't know exactly when that's going to be. So as you look out on the horizon, you know, we just don't know. And to me personally, I think that events are coming into place that signal the end of the age. But can I be absolutely sure? I mean, people were pretty convinced that Christ was going to return in 1972, weren't they? But as far as I know, he didn't come then, nor in the intervening years. It's been more than 50 years since 1972. So he's not come yet. So does that mean he's not coming? Some people have concluded that. But we know that's not true. He is coming. He is coming. We just need to be ready. So our time is best spent focusing on the job that God has given us to do. And as you look at the coming of Christ, when he comes and the seventh trump sounds and basically he's shown up, is there going to be any time to get it together, to be about the business that God has given you to do? Sorry, time's up. The time of preparation has ended. So we're not going to grow all of a sudden. We're not going to develop a relationship with God, the Father, and the Son. We're not going to do that. That's going to have to be developed along the way, along the path now. So we can't let it go till events are imminent. So the world's going to go on. Sometimes it's going to look like the coming of Christ is closer. Sometimes it's far away. And that's just how it goes. It ebbs and flows. And it's not just a consistent line to that point. Sometimes it seems closer, sometimes further away. But we have to be prepared. And whatever time it works out, it works out. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. And where it again mentions the thief in the night. Now, first, the verses that we've looked at here were statements made by Jesus Christ about his coming and the thief in the night issue. But as you look at 1 Thessalonians, to whom is he speaking? This is the Apostle Paul speaking to members of the church. And let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. And here Paul is addressing the day of the Lord and speaking about it in terms of coming as a thief in the night. Beginning in verse 1, it says, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you." Paul had taught them. They knew the answer to this question about the thief in the night. They knew that. So Paul's saying, I don't need to teach you. You already know. And that's the case for all of us. We already know. Verse 2, "For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." So he's coming as a thief in the night. And, you know, we've looked at that as something where somebody kind of sneaks up on you, or, you know, if a thief were coming and breaking into your house, you know, we've looked at it from that particular perspective. But this is the passage that we're going to look at that is somewhat different, a different way of looking at it that I think you'll understand as we go through it. Verse 4 says, "But you, brethren," so he's talking to church members, and he says, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that the day should overtake you as a thief." So one of the things that he emphasizes is the coming of Christ, his second coming, and the resurrection of the dead. So what does that relate to? That relates to the holy day, doesn't it? It relates to the Feast of Trumpets. So just by the fact that you know that eventually the Feast of Trumpets is going to play out in reality, you know that Christ is going to return. So every year that you go through that and look at different aspects of it, you know that that's eventually going to happen. It's a certainty. Paul had taught them this, so they were aware of the Feast of Trumpets. They were aware of what it represented, and so are we. That's why we're going to go through the Feast of Trumpets here at the end of the month. So as we go through that, is it all going to be new material? No, it's not. But it's well worth recounting it because it emphasizes the importance of our being ready. And it being reemphasized that this will be a reality that will eventually play out. Paul says, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." And so, you know, you look at people, you know, they're in the light. They have understanding. But as you look at most people, they don't have any understanding. What are most people going to be doing when we keep the Feast of Trumpets? They're going to be getting up, going to work, doing what they do every day. And here we are meeting on the Feast of Trumpets. And they wonder, why are you doing that? Why are you doing this Old Testament stuff? Well, there's a reason for it, which they may not see at this point. But Paul tells them, "Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober." Watch and be sober, for those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. So these are all spiritual things that we should be developing in our lives, putting on the breastplate of faith. So you only do that by having a relationship with God and pursuing that relationship in order that it will be established in your life. You know, developing the love of God, those are all things that we can be doing. And we put on the hope of salvation. It's like a helmet. As we are attacked and undermined and ridiculed for our beliefs, we know that salvation is eventually coming. We have that hope, and nobody can take it away from us. Finally, in verse 9, it says, "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." So, like us, the return of Jesus Christ was on the mind of the people in Thessalonica. And Paul is recounting that for them. And Paul tells them that he felt no need to write concerning its timing because they already knew. They already knew that this was coming, that it was going to play out. They knew that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And they knew it, and they knew that they needed to be ready. Whatever time Christ came, they would be ready. However, he writes something that seems contradictory in verse 4. He says that they are not in the darkness, that they should overtake them as a thief. And what he actually means there is that the day of God's wrath would not swallow them up, or the destruction of that day does not need to have power over them. And he doesn't mean that they aren't going to be surprised at the timing of Christ's coming, but as parallel verses tell us, for God has not appointed us to wrath, even though they will be surprised. So will you be surprised when the trump finally sounds? He says you will be. I mean, you know it's coming, but he says you're going to be surprised. All of a sudden it's here. And verse 6 contains the same admonition seen elsewhere to be awake, to be sober and watch. And though we're not appointed to wrath, other verses show that we can certainly still incur God's wrath if we don't heed our responsibility. So what's the main thing that we could be doing? God has given us things to do. So we need to be practicing them, putting them into effect, showing God we believe he's coming. We believe he's coming, and that is going to take place, and we want to be ready for it. Simply watching down the road for a sign of the master's return really does not prepare us for something at all, anything at all. So you can be watching and looking, when is Christ coming? But if God's work has not been completed in you, you're not ready. And just because you're there looking at it means nothing. Because you're to have an ongoing relationship with God and Jesus, God the Father and Jesus Christ. Because if you don't have that ongoing relationship, he's going to say, well, who are you? Well, I knew exactly when you were coming. I was watching. I had it together. And here I am. And he's going to say, no. And you should know that you didn't make it when you're not resurrected. So if you don't feel yourself lifting off, you know, maybe I didn't make the cut. So you don't want to be that person. And he's telling you this because he doesn't want that eventuality. He wants to have a relationship with you. He's willing to listen to your prayers. He's willing to help you through the trials and difficulties of this life. And he wants you to be there when the seventh trump sounds. He wants you to be a part of his family. So he said, be watchful in the sense of taking heed to yourself. How am I doing in the spiritual things? What's important to me, and have I been about God's business? Let's go to Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. And there, it's Jesus Christ speaking, and he's speaking to the church of God. One of the manifestations of the church that you found in the first century in the Apostle John's time, but it also points to what played out later on, and so he wrote to the church in Sardis. So in Revelation chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars." And he tells the church in Sardis, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. So he knew them. But he said, you had knowledge, you had understanding, you knew the truth, but unfortunately, you've not done much with it. You've lost it, lost sight of what is to happen. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. So they had been called out, they had been given God's Spirit, and they had grown. But for whatever reason, they had lost sight of that, and they still had that knowledge, but they were not diligently pursuing a relationship with God. So he warns them, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. He said, you guys are kind of walking on thin ice here, and you need to strengthen the things which you still understand and realize you're to pursue, and unfortunately, they're ready to die. And he says, I have not found your works perfect before God. Therefore, remember how you received and heard, hold fast and repent. And therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come. So he's telling them to be watchful. He's telling them to take heed to themselves at this point, and they're on the edge whether they're going to make it or not. And so he's warning them. So after calling them essentially the church of the mostly dead, he tells them to be watchful. You've still got a little bit of life. Take that seriously, and don't let it go. Don't let it go. He tells them to be vigilant in their core responsibilities, to guard against continuing in the wrong direction and being caught unawares. Interestingly, as you look in what Isaiah has to say about the day of the Lord, when he's talking about it in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 12, he's talking about the proud and lofty, and upon everything lifted up, it's going to be brought low as Christ returns. And the primary target of what Isaiah is saying is the proud, the self-assured. And the ironic thing is that this state of spiritual near death could easily come about. And it could happen to us. You know, he talks about the Laodiceans not being ready, not being diligent, just being kind of lackadaisical. So it's not that it's wrong to keep tabs on world news, but watching world news is chiefly about observing. It's not about yielding to God, practicing his way of life, and ensuring that we're growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God's willing to do his part, but he wants us to do ours as well. So there probably was a great deal of activity as Christ passed this message along to the church in Sardis, since he says that they have a name or reputation for being alive. Yet in the areas that truly matter, they were lacking. But he's encouraging them to get with it. So plainly, Christ will return when we do not expect him. So do you think maybe that's going to be the way that it works out? That he would come when we may not expect him? That's what he said. So I think he knows what he's talking about. We may be able to observe some general indicators when key prophecies are fulfilled, but the overall timing is a mystery. And his coming will be like a thief in the night, purposely hidden from all. So for all of us, rather than trying to discern the timing, to get it down perfectly, so I'm going to watch and make sure I'm there, you know, ready for it when it happens. He says, don't be doing that. Don't worry about that. But be about the things that I've given you to do. And if you do, you will be ready at whatever time Christ comes. And you can be assured that if you take that approach, that you will not be caught unawares. You will be found by God when he returns to having been about his business. And God will recognize you for that. So truly, we have a responsibility to be about God's business. And as we are, God said, that great things will happen for us because we will be a part of God's family forever. So hopefully that is a review that will be useful to you as far as the thief in the night and the coming of Jesus Christ.